Knock, knock. Oh, that's pretty good, actually. Maybe a bit louder. Knock, knock. Epaphras. Sorry, I'm not actually allowed to finish that joke. This is my first time up the front at Picton and Wilton. This is my third time actually preaching. I was given a book on how to prepare a sermon, and it dictates that I cannot tell jokes. It says, and I quote, "Don't open with a joke." Most jokes aren't that funny, and you need to be very careful about starting with a joke because it might fall flat. But I like your enthusiasm about who Epaphras is or was, and we'll circle back to him soon. I'd like to pause there and just say, extend my welcome as well. Happy Mother's Day, to extend on Colin's welcome. Especially want to acknowledge my own mum, who's not here today. I wrote who is here today. But thank you for all your love and prayers and encouragement and putting up with me all these years. And to my wife and my mother-in-law, who's here, hi mum. My wife, the incredible mother of our two boys, thank you for everything you do for our family. So much goes unseen, but the boys and I are blessed to have you. But what I might do is take a selfie, if that's okay, for my mum. Uh-oh, it's doing something funny. There we go. I'm very blessed to have a mother who thinks it's cool that I'm up the front giving a sermon. Anyway, so hi everyone, my name is Andrew. I usually go to the 5 o'clock service, like we mentioned, at Wilton. So if we haven't met yet, I'm really looking forward to that sometime in the near future. If we have met, thank you for bearing with me. As you know, giving a sermon is not my day job. I spend most of my time each week behind a computer, and we're actually talking about it on the way in. I actually bought this jacket for my interview with that job 20 odd years ago, and actually fit then. So I spend most of my time working with the railways in Sydney and the local council here at Wallandilly in the afternoons. Today, as Colin said, we mentioned continue on in Colossians. It's a letter that was written some 2,000 years ago. But as we see, it speaks very clearly to us here in Picton and Wilton today. Thanks very much to James for reading the passage so faithfully. And in the past, I've had the privilege of attending the youth group out at Wilton. They have a little Bible study segment. And I've seen the challenges faced by some of the youth there in understanding the passages. They often use Google or AI to interpret some of the passages to try and understand the words. And if you'll bear with me, I've rewritten the message in the contemporary New Andrew Version in an attempt to be inclusive to the younger segment of our generation congregation today. So thanks to my nephew for representing. What I've written has been verified by the target audience. Apparently it is a good message. The grammar needs improvement, but in an effort to be as cringe as possible to my children whilst I'm here, let me continue. Like, have you heard about this chill Jesus, his aura and how he gains? No cap, it's legit going viral, fully global, changing lives everywhere. Same with you when it clicked how real God's grace is. You heard it from Epaphras, our guy, not some out-of-touch boomer. He didn't cap. He bought the truth and showed what real love looks like. Since then, we've been praying that you don't stay mid, but actually level up, like fully understand what God wants for your life, with proper, savvy, Christianese street smarts and stuff. Live in a way that reps him right, doing good and growing in your Christianese, and getting closer to God. When life gets tough, don't fold. God will give you strength to push through. Stay chill and keep your joy up. And don't forget, be grateful. God rescued you from the dark, which is so buns, and brought you into Jesus' turf, the goat, where you're forgiven, cleaned up, and set free. Can I have a show of hands, please, if anyone understood anything I just said? Oh, I've got one at the back. Good. I was hoping that there would be one person that was a bit of a smart aleck who said, oh, you just read the Colossians passage, but no one did that, so anyway. Even though the language changes, the message hasn't. The gospel translates across every culture and every generation. Now let me continue in hopefully a more socially or widely understood generic English. This letter is from Paul and Timothy to a church in Colossae, and it's written because Paul has heard that there are some issues, some false teachings creeping into that church there. So the letter does two things. It reminds us who Jesus really is, and it shows them what a life following him should actually look like. To help us understand the context of where this passage fits in the Bible, I've prepared the following slides. So if you can bring the slides up, the first slide here is an example of what a home church might look, a home jail might look like. So this is Paul and Timothy writing the letter under a Roman guard with the chain there. Obviously, Paul's in chains. And as we find out a bit later on, Epaphras either was in jail at the same time or soon after. If we can go to the next slide. I don't know how this looks here at Wilton. We couldn't really read it. But it's a pretty busy slide. But basically, it starts off on the far left on my side of creation, and the far right is the fall of Jerusalem, and about the second one in is Christ's ascension. So it's about 62 AD is where we are. It's basically 5 years after Paul's third missionary journey. So where Paul met Epaphras. The next slide is not actually a slide. It should be a short video that turns up any second now. And we couldn't see this one either at Wilton. So it starts off at Wilton because that's where I live. Zooms out and we'll go to Italy and Rome where Paul's in prison and he's writing to the church. We go over to modern-day Turkey, and as we zoom in, we see the real places that these people lived. We start off in Ephesus. This is where we think Paul met Epaphras and took the message to Colossae, which is the church here. And basically, it's a home church here. So the next slide should be, Paul's letter being read. So, yeah, word of the wise, if you use an AI, I asked AI to draw me a picture of Epaphras reading a letter, but he might not have been there, so AI did what I asked, but it's probably not true. So this is Epaphras reading the letter that he got from Paul to the home church. It's basically a typical home church in what Colossae might have looked like at the time. It's obviously, it's only 30 years after Christ was there, so probably not too many people. Epaphras was a Greek guy, so probably didn't have the Jewish background, but real mix of cultures here. And the last slide, is my 3 points for the slide, and we'll just leave that up for the rest of the sermon. Thank you. As we look at this passage, there are 3 things that I want us to see. First, the gospel keeps spreading. Second, Paul's prayer for them in Colossae is that their lifelong learning is an exercise in humility. And third, that we're called to live a life worthy of the Lord. So before I continue, let me pray. Father God, here we are, some 2,000 years after this letter was written, and your word is still being proclaimed. We pray that today that you would help us to hear it clearly, understand it, and take it to heart. I pray that the words that I speak would be faithful to your word. Amen. So first, the gospel is spreading. The good news about Jesus didn't stop in the first century. At some point, someone told you about Jesus, and that means you're part of the same story. Paul says the gospel is growing and bearing fruit all over the world. And when you think about it, 2,000 years later in Picton and Wilton, the exact same thing is happening. In Colossians 1, 6 and 7, we read, "In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is the faithful minister of Christ on our behalf." If you replace the name Epaphras with the person who told you about Jesus, this passage could be almost written about any one of us. The passage starts off with a global view, and then it narrows right in on the individual Epaphras. The good news is being spread and bearing fruit. And what is fruit here? Good fruit for the individual is a life impacted and transformed. And the church that is actually growing out is living out its faith and seeing members of the community that it serves going to heaven. I saw this really clearly on a recent field trip to the Philippines with Compassion. We visited 4 churches. And even though the language and the culture were different, maybe sometimes as foreign as my young people's slang attempt, the core message was exactly the same. People singing about Jesus, hearing God's word, and encouraging each other to live for him. They were feeding and tending for God's lambs and sheep. One church had modern worship music, like Hillsong type songs, and then older hymns like we've had here today, which are completely foreign to me and I'm sure my nephew, and a sermon shaped by their history and teaching. But at the centre of all, Christ was being proclaimed. And it really struck me, even after travelling thousands of kilometres and days from Wilton, we weren't in something different. We were part of the same church. So what does that mean for us here? If the gospel has been passed on to us, we are now part of passing it on. And also, don't just take what is said up the front as automatically true. Open the Bible yourself, read it, think about it. Ask questions of more long-term Christians. Use tools, maybe even the internet, to help understand it. Second, learning is an exercise in humility. The Christian life isn't about arriving, it's about continually growing. In Colossians 9 and 10, Paul writes, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God." Paul says that the church would be filled with knowledge, not just information, but real understanding shaped by the Spirit. And we see that in Epaphras. He learned the gospel, he shared it. And when things got difficult, spiritually difficult, and we can read further, they did get physically harder. In Philemon 1:23, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ, sends you his greeting." So he's a prisoner there. He didn't pretend to have all the answers. He went to Paul for help, for guidance. And that's humility. It's a reminder that growing as a Christian means being willing to keep learning and to keep growing in Christ. So let me ask, are you actually growing? Or have you just stayed at the same level for weeks or years or decades? Growth takes effort. It takes humility. It means being open to being taught and corrected. Maybe you can start with Colossians this week and read a few verses a day. You could talk to someone after church and ask them how are they growing, or join a Bible study. I've been attending the Taste and See event that the church has been running when I can, and I can recommend that as a good place for newcomers to ask questions. I believe that will be followed up by a Christianity Explore course, which I can personally recommend as a good starting point. Or you can just ask Ben and Scott, and I'm sure they'd be happy to help. This isn't about being better people. This is about what Jesus has already done for us, rescuing us, bringing us into his kingdom through his victory over the darkness by his death on the cross. This growth isn't just about knowledge. It's also about character, as the Spirit corrects and rebukes you to make you more like Christ each day. My third point, God gives us strength to keep growing. And this leads to a life marked by gratitude. In Colossians 11 and 12 we read, "We are strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and give in joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his Holy Spirit people in the kingdom of light." This isn't talking about a physical strength. It's the strength to endure, to keep trusting God when life is hard, to be patient with people, to stay steady. And it leads to gratitude, not because life is easy, but because of what God has already done. He has qualified us, not because we earned it, but because of his grace, and we are part of his kingdom of light. Also on our compassion trip, we heard from a young man who had grown up in poverty. He was now serving in his church in a similar fashion to what his Christian mentors had done before him. He said something that really struck me. Even though the practical needs, physical and practical needs, were met through the financial giving of compassion, it was his faith in God that gave him strength through the hardest of times. And this was particularly emotional because compassion doesn't give them much. It's basically a school backpack, multivitamins and a bag of rice a week. I deliberately kept that light from getting emotional because it's still a little bit raw. It's wearing off a little bit, but that's exactly what this passage is talking about. Last week in Alice Springs, we saw some horrific events unfold, terrible examples of what the world produces when sin and pain and anger take over. And Colossians reminds us of what the gospel produces instead and invites us to be part of that. So when life is hard, and it will be. Or when life is comfortable, and it might be, where do you go? Do you try to carry it yourself and lean on your own understanding? Or do you bring it to Jesus and actually give thanks for what he has already done? So as we finish, the gospel is still spreading. We're called to keep growing, and God gives us the strength to live lives that honour him. And the incredible thing is that we are called to be part of that story. If you've received this gospel, the question is, are you passing it on? Are you growing? Are you relying on his strength or on your own? So as I finish up, please join me in my final prayer. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it still speaks to us today. Please help us to grow in the knowledge of you, to live lives worthy of you, and to rely on your strength each day. Help us to share the good news of Jesus with those around us and to bear good fruit in your name. And thank you for our mums. Amen. Thank you.